Margaret, it is Wednesday morning. We check in with County Councilwoman Marty Hawks. She joins us every Wednesday for her visit. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am just looking forward to the last of the snow that's coming up, and we all knew we were going to have more snow. You get closer to sectional
winter.
Time, you have to have
it's
snow.
It's March Madness.
It's
there's got to be snow, right?
We've had snow in April before. I never give up until 4th of July around here sometimes. But Marty pops in with us every Wednesday morning to keep our eyes and ears on what's happening in county government. And obviously some front page news today in an election year, Marty, that help us walk through it. Linda Robbins, the county clerk, is resigning a week from Friday. We have a primary election, obviously, in May. We have a general presidential election coming up in November. And talk us through what's going on with the county clerk's office.
Well, clearly, Clerk Robbins has had some health challenges. And it might very well have been. I haven't talked with her personally because this was certainly a surprise that I heard about when I arrived at the council meeting. But I'm wondering if she hasn't determined that the stress of that job is more than she ought to try to live through and would rather enjoy her life with her husband and retire and not have the stress over.
Well, it's
that's
never
my guess.
Stress never makes your health better, does it, Marty?
Well, you know, a little bit just to keep your heart pumping, but you know, that being the clerk, that is a huge job between the clerk's job and the auditor's job, the two most difficult positions in county government as far as the elected officials, in my opinion, because there's so much hands-on that you are responsible for. You really cannot go out and contract out major parts of your job. This is a pivotal year for that clerk's office to be working full speed. And I don't know. I haven't talked with her, but it's my hope that...
Yeah, just to make sure everybody's clear on this, this email came out after business yesterday afternoon, so this isn't something that's been sitting around for 3 or 4 days or whatever else. It came pretty much as a shock to everybody.
Right,
and Linda
right.
Was,
I really think that Clerk Robbins had intended perhaps not to get this information out quite so quickly because, as I understand it, she hadn't had an opportunity to meet with those people. She would rather have known about it before. It got out so quickly, but then when she determined it was, there's no such thing as secret in county government, and it got out too quickly, and so she went ahead. Now, this is what I've been told. Once again, I have not had a conversation with her about it, but I just know that this is. For her, a big step because it makes a difference in what she had really hoped she would be doing in the next 2 years.
And Linda Robbins was elected.
I respect the fact that she wants that office to run smoothly, and she looks as if she doesn't feel like she's physically up to the task. So,
Linda Robbins was elected in 2010, reelected in 2014, and. Again, almost halfway through term number two. So what's the next step, right, Margaret? That's gonna
Yeah, that was just well, going to ask Marty, what happens now with her,
well,
her
right
replacement?
Well, right now, she won't be retiring until March 4th, and so, of course, the caucus, since she's a Democrat, it would be the Democrats, all the precinct members of the in the county, they'll hold a caucus and they will vote on the replacement for that. Now, that replacement could be whoever it is who decides to run. They actually have to run for this replacement person. So whoever wants to do that would have to get their name on that ballot for that caucus. And I'm certain if they have questions, if anybody has questions, they can contact the Democrat chair to get information on that, and I don't have that number or anything for them. But in the meantime, then the chief deputy, and that's why we have a chief deputy, let's say the clerk, Clerk Robbins, will still be the clerk until the day of her day that she has determined she's going to step down.
That's and a week from Friday, March 4th.
March 4th. And then from that time forward, then it will be the chief deputy who will be in charge of the office until such time that they do have the caucus and put in place a new clerk. And then that clerk will have an opportunity to choose their own chief deputy. So much as what happened with our recorder Jim Fielder when he passed, and there was a Republican caucus, and he then was replaced by those caucus voters, and then he chose his own chief deputy. And that's just the way the numbers work. Let's just hope whoever it is that they will understand that this is not just a walk in that office once in a while. This is a huge job. And with this election coming up and the fact that the clerk also sits on that election board.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Marty. What does the election board do? Do they meet immediately as well and get that sorted out?
Well, once they get the new clerk, then they'll have another meeting, and right now they would still have the same, whoever's the president would still be the president of the election board and so forth, and then.
But does the caucus new clerk immediately slide into the election board, or is that a position for person, or is that a position for office?
No, it's the position of the office. If you're the clerk,
you're on the election board.
You're on right. The three-person right. Election
just
board.
Just clearing that up so people aren't confused about why does that happen, how does that happen.
Right, and that's, when we're talking about this huge election, and we expect to have a lot of turnout for this election.
If any election we're going to have any turnout, you would hope it's the presidential one.
Yeah.
Well, when you're talking a presidential election and the kind of excitement at the national level, good or bad, I think you'll
have... Especially for the primary right now, so yes.
Right. I think you'll have a big turnout. And so I'm looking forward to see who the Democrat caucus will believe is really up to the challenge of stepping in there and getting this job done right. And hopefully it will be someone who's really qualified for this position, because I think they really know how important it is for this to go smoothly. And, of course, the clerk's office does so much more than just the election.
Right, but in an election year, that has to be the number one.
Absolutely.
A number one problem. Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in with us every Wednesday just after 8:05. Meeting last night. Tell us what happened.
Right. Well, the first thing that we talked about was the fact that we, Bonnie Austin, who is a court administrator, came forward to talk about moving some money around, and that was just so that we could make up the difference. And she's just so wonderful. She looks to see where we can get all kinds of help in other directions before she comes to the council to ask for more money. And because they have to do all the scanning that they have to do, because the law is changing that everything has to be e-filing, through the courts, it's going to be a huge, huge difference in how the court operates. But they had to do a lot of scanning to be prepared for that, and they got the Title IV-D money to help cover most of that expense for those equipment, and this is just a small part that we would have to pay. In addition to which, our Eric Evans, who's our technical service director, also figured out how to get the upgraded computers and to help support this. And so they're all working so well together so that we can be ready when the state says, okay, this is it. You have to be everything by e-filing that will be ready. And that's not just Monroe County has to do this. The counties throughout the state will have to be doing this. So that's going to be the biggest change. Bonnie Austin's been with the courts now for more than two decades, and she said this is the biggest change that she's ever seen having to do with the courts. So that'll be a big change for us. And then we had a discussion about that Lao financial system that people, you might have heard us talk about, and that's how we are going to be changing over to all new equipment, having to do with the software package and so forth for the auditor's office, having to do with payroll and having to do with the financials. And that may sound like, oh, we're boring and not too interesting, but, you know, if we don't get the financial records going right and pull all these numbers together right, it affects everybody. Now, of course, the payroll affects, you know, the county government employees, and that's huge. And I understand they're having problems right now. Our auditor said that really disastrous problems coming up if they're not corrected. And our technical service director made it clear we ought to go to our provider now and make sure they're getting that corrected. But the financial portion of it, that because the auditor's office is the one that keeps track of how the money goes out to all the different taxing units, the school and the library and the city and so forth, those financial packages have got to work right, and we're told that this is going to be a lot more effective in making sure that there's less mistakes. But there was a discussion last night about when is the best time to switch over.
Well, there is no good time, is there?
And that's exactly the answer.
There's no good time to train. There's no good time to switch over. There's no good time to figure it all out. Are we so
right,
so what do you do?
Well, you have to make sure you're not doing it in the middle of settlement when you're trying to settle out so that you're sending out the right money to the taxing units. You have to make sure that you're not doing it at the beginning of the year because that's when you're closing out the books.
I understand when we shouldn't be doing it. When is it going to get done? That's the million-dollar question.
Okay, well, so my question was specifically, so when I was getting this feedback from the person making the presentation, it appears that between February and sometime in June, then that's the time that you can switch over, and then if you don't get it switched over then you have to do it like sometime after June 30th and after settlement for that mid-year settlement, so then that means late summer. Well, then you're right into trying to figure out how you're going to get the information for your budgets. So there was some consideration that we wouldn't even try to make this huge changeover and in training and so forth until we get all of our newly elected officials on board. Because we know that in January we are going to have a new auditor and we are going to have a new treasurer. I mean, that's just the fact.
Right.
And they each will have the right to appoint their own chief deputy. So the people in charge of both of these offices will be brand new.
Okay, Marty, just a little, I hope that I'm wrong about this, but could they come in and say they don't want this software?
Oh, listen, what our intent is to make a commitment with this company because it is an Indiana-based company and they are working with several counties throughout Indiana, and we are getting not a good response out of our present system provider, and this provider is already working on our property side, and they've been very responsive. So we are going to make the commitment to do that. It appeared to me, it sounded to me from other people on the council that they are committed to moving forward. But right now we'll just have to figure out, you know, what steps we have to take and then get in line.
But what I'm asking is, can they come in and say we won't work with the software?
Wait just a minute. What I'm saying, we will get in line and already have this agreed on before we would ever, it appears to me from what was being presented, before next year, we wouldn't want it implemented to move and do the changeover until next year. But they may decide we'll do it in the fall of this year. But those were our options. But indeed, the new people, if it goes from what it appeared it was going to be going from last night's meeting, remember, no decisions were made. It was a work session. but it would be a done deal once they got on board. It would just not have been implemented until like February, something like that.
Okay, you're making me a little scared, but okay.
Let me repeat. I want to make sure that you understand. They cannot, the newly elected officials, if the county council votes to go ahead and put this in place and the county commissioners sign off on the contracts, and that it all happens before the first of the year, that will be there, and that will be the equipment that those elected officials will have to work with.
Okay. All right. That sounds a little more certain. Yeah. That sounds a little more certain then, okay? Because okay. Can you imagine the chaos that would cause if they come in and say, well, we don't like this.
So these people are running on the platform knowing they're going to have a brand new software system in place where they're going to have essentially a clean slate of training people, making sure people understand this, and again, essentially, I don't want to say starting from scratch because the past data just doesn't go away, but moving forward, they're going to come in with a clean slate. They're going to start at point A along with the system, and we can't hear about, well, this. We're not sure how this works, and we're not sure how to get this trained. We're not sure. So that's a big, big job.
Right, it certainly is, and I want to just make it clear, this is what was discussed last night.
It's not official yet, correct.
Definite decisions have not been made, so I don't want anybody to think that I've jumped the gun on this one. The other thing that was presented last night was there's a movement toward giving more of that timber sales revenue out to the fire departments. There's always some that's given out, and there's a movement toward giving out more. That brings me then to the fire territory, and boy, are we out of time.
Let's do, I got 2 minutes for fire territory because they did have a meeting last night, and the questions and monies being kicked around is not 10, 12 bucks. This is some heavy lifting.
Right. This is rather large. And but you know what? If your house is on fire, you're going to be wishing that it takes to make things safe. So I know that there's concern, so we just have to, the people making these decisions, hopefully they'll ask all the right questions, and they'll feel comfortable with their decisions, but clearly they're not going to be able to have the same kind of tax on their properties as they have now and have service, because that they're already being told that's just simply not going to be the case.
Okay, Marty, after having read the story, can I just ask you something so that maybe we can clarify it for our listeners a little bit quicker?
Real quick.
Okay. City of Bloomington right now is doing some sort of service with these townships.
No.
Okay. Then the way that the newspaper is writing it is very confusing then. Can you
explain? It's saying Bloomington. Okay. It is Bloomington Township. Does so much for Washington and Benton, and they're saying that they are now going to go with a different charge for each run they do, and
tripling the cost. Correct.
A lot. It's going to raise the cost to Benton Township and Washington Township, and they're saying they don't have in their tax revenue structure right now the money to pay that contract that Bloomington Township Fire Department wants to have. Now, their options, it appeared to me, was they could ask for a contract from the City of Bloomington Fire Department, but from the information I had received, that they said that they had asked for that, and that was something also that they couldn't meet with their present tax structure. So it appears to me that what's going on is they're saying this is the only way we can make a difference. Now, then the difference will be how much of a tax do the people, can they live with, that the township boards will agree to, because they have to be an exact resolution by each township
board. Can this
board.
Be put to a referendum, or does it have to be decided by the township board trustees?
The legislation that allows fire territories, it has to be, it's not by a referendum. It's by each township board.
And that's state law, correct?
And that's by the state enabling legislation. It is very different from the fire district. Remember, we've got the Perry Clear Creek Fire District, and they have to bring their budget and the amount of taxes that they're going to charge and bring it to the county council for approval.
But that's a district, not a territory, right? The territory is different.
The district and territory is totally different. The fire territory has its own budget, and it has its own taxes approved by that fiscal body.
So they can create any tax rate within the parameters to fund and keep that together, because they don't have to. It's not part of the city's budget.
So
right. But and that's the reason why many of the people would rather have a fire territory rather than a fire district, because they don't want someone else telling them what to do. But here is something that one will want to look at, is that is, once it's put together, from what I'm getting from the state, the budget and tax levies, tax spending, would be passed by the provider unit, and in this case, the provider unit is the Bloomington Township, and then, of course, that budget would go to the state, and the state would review it to say whether it met the guidelines, but that would not come back to the county. So here's how it will affect other county taxing units. Like, it'll affect the library, everybody who gets income tax. It'll affect all the townships as well, because this will be a separate budget, a separate tax rate and levy that will pull out of that income tax pot of money. And so if they get some, you know, and I don't know how much that would be, but if they get some, that means everybody else just gets less. Doesn't mean they'll suddenly be more income tax.
So
they'll just get a part of it.
So, Marty, does the fire territory mean that these three townships will have their own regular fire department instead of just the volunteer fire department? I mean, I think that one of the things that people probably want to understand is how their houses are going to be protected. And right now, I am more confused than I about
it's
that
like they're,
part
they're
of it.
Protect your house. It's just who's going to pay for it.
No. It is who's going to protect your house, because right now they've got these volunteer fire departments that are just part of the deal, and they've been covered by Bloomington Township, from what I understand. They had a contract with them. Isn't that correct?
Part of the concern is that they have been having more and more trouble trying to get more volunteers and to be ready to go work the volunteer. So, and the answer to your question will be whatever budget it is that they finally agree to. They looks to me like they have one that would be a dream budget that would give everybody exactly what they'd like. But then that requires a much higher tax than what everybody's saying they want to live with. So if they don't want to pay the higher tax, and everybody agrees, well, we're going to have a resolution by all three townships to, and remember, they all have to agree exactly, then they may determine, well, we're going to have less of a service so that we can provide a lesser tax. So,
well, and lesser is all relative. It's not...
Well, right. I still don't understand who is going to be protecting these people's homes and the fire service.
Right, and that's part of what they will be determining when they're making this presentation, how many full-time firefighters they're actually going to have.
Yeah, it's all what they want to pay
for.
It's pretty simple.
And right, you get what you pay for.
How much tax you
want
to pay.
So they are going to have regular paid firemen working out of those townships in fire departments. That is the intention of this fire district, fire territory.
When you look at their proposed budget, those are the questions that the citizens will be asking when they go to these meetings, exactly what the staffing is going to be,
who's
going
to pay for it,
what the budget is going to be for that staffing, and what are our options. And remember, what they're talking here, what I'm seeing in the paper about the taxes, I have not seen that they are including the CUM tax, that extra tax, I think it's 0.0333, for the CUM fund. And so that needs to be added on there, too, because that would be a part of it. And that, and of course, I don't see anything on there for a debt fund. And the debt funds are handled differently for territories. I understand there's some legislation at the state that's supposed to clear that up a bit. So,
so there's a ways to go before this gets going.
All those questions, but at the end of the day, if your house is burning down, you are going to want someone from a fire department to show up. So I'm hoping they'll all work it out. Remember, it's not a county decision, and I don't live in those three townships, so it's not certainly not something I can weigh in on as far as a vote.
All right, Marty, good job. I'm sorry we're late and out of time. We will get caught up with you next Wednesday. We always appreciate your time and efforts.
Thank you very much.